Since the outbreak of the swine flu in Mexico in April, governments across the globe have braced for a dangerous pandemic. On May 5th, the U.S. government reported that the number of confirmed swine flu cases across America exceeded 438 states. Despite fears that this new strain of flu could be more dangerous than normal outbreaks of the disease, health officials now believe that the H1N1 flu, as it's labeled, is no more severe than seasonal influenza. Citing an ebb in the spread of the flu, the Mexican government has recently moved to reopen universities, schools, and other places that had been closed to limit the infection rate. Laura Carlson, director of the Center for International Policy's Mexico City-based America's program, has written about the possible origin of this strain of swine flu. In an article titled Mexico's Swine Flu and the Globalization of Disease, Carlson reports that the origin of the disease may be connected to Carroll Farms, a huge factory hog farm located in the town of Perote in Veracruz State, co-owned by the U.S.-based corporation Smithfield Foods. In early March, local Mexican health officials issued a health alert, claiming that 60% of the residents of Perote suffered from flu, pneumonia, and bronchitis, symptoms later associated with the current swine flu outbreak. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Carlson, who discusses the connection between swine flu in Mexico, factory farming, and the weakening of environmental and health standards mandated under the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Well, the first case confirmed of this particular swine flu, now that they have the technology to identify it specifically, is known to be from a small community that's right beside an enormous hog farm. This is a hog farm that came down the same year that NAFTA went into effect and is partly owned by Smithfield Foods, the largest pork farmers in the world, and with another Mexican company called AMSA. So right there you have at least a warning sign that there's a high possibility. We're talking about a swine flu. We've been asked to call it now H1N1 because the powers that be are concerned that people will stop eating pork. But essentially, it's a flu that has mutated between an avian flu, a swine flu, and a human flu. The reason that people are so concerned about it is because it's highly contagious from human to human. There's no need to have come in contact with the pigs in order to contract it, and that it's spreading across the world. It's not, however, extremely fatal. In fact, now in Mexico, we're talking about 727 cases that have been confirmed with the flu, and they've only confirmed 26 deaths at last count. But there's still a great deal of concern because these factory farms, there have been warnings out for many years, almost a decade, since it became the prevalent form of production for meat in the world, that when you concentrate this many animals and this much filth and waste in a single place, you have a huge likelihood of contracting viruses and of those viruses mutating into forms that can affect the human population. So many people are very concerned that this was, in fact, the origin of the flu we have here now in Mexico.
In Mexico, is it widely known that there is this possible link, and is there a public outcry for an investigation?
Well, unfortunately, not nearly as much as there should be. The federal government is doing the same thing as other international agencies and, of course, the company and the media in the United States and trying to downplay any possible link. They basically, you know, ignore the fact or treat it as a great coincidence that the first case that was positively identified is right next to this hog farm when it's a swine flu. And even if you're not going beyond circumstantial evidence, that in itself is call for a serious investigation, and especially because of the way swine flus have transferred to human populations in the past. So there really does need to be a lot of public pressure because of the political and the economic power on a global level of companies like Smithfield, and particularly of Smithfield itself, which is one of the major transnationals in this field. If we as citizens, not only in Mexico but in the rest of the world, don't demand that the Food and Agriculture Organization and the United Nations and others complete an investigation at this farm and look into the broader issues of health risks posed by these what they call confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, then I'm afraid it won't happen.
Why don't you talk about the connection between these factory farms and the North American Free Trade Agreement and free trade policies in general?
Here in Mexico, we've seen an incredibly rapid and broad transformation in the way that meat is produced in the country. The Smithfield Farms came down right after NAFTA went into effect. And in fact, when they established their operations here in Mexico with the Mexican company, they were already facing some serious legal problems in the United States. They were fined for violation of the Clean Water Act for the way in which they were discarding waste, and they lost an appeal. They have also been sued for the odor by communities surrounding their operations in the United States. So it was obvious that they were having a lot of legal problems. The fact that they came down to Mexico and moved part of their operations down here raises the specter of what a lot of environmentalists and others have called the race to the bottom. And what this means is that transnationals, when you facilitate their ability to move around the world in production, will seek conditions where they not only find cheaper labor, as true of Mexico, but they also find either non-existent or very loosely enforced environmental and health regulations. In this way, they can avoid the kinds of costs that go along with both improving their facilities and having to face lawsuits in cases where there are effects on local communities. In Mexico, we also see it not only in livestock, but it's become the pattern for poultry production as well, with Tyson's and Pilgrim's Pride buying up many of what were formerly smaller Mexican operations, pushing them out of the market, the ones that still exist, and taking over even what's the traditional practice of small-scale farmer livestock production.
That was Laura Carlson, director of the Center for International Policy's Americas program based in Mexico City. Contact the center by calling area code 202-232-3317 or visit their website at ciponline.org.